This is Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley was one of a number of U.S. Catholic officials who met with Pope Francis in Rome today to address growing public pressure on the church to deal more proactively with the continuing sexual abuse scandal. U.S. bishops requested the meeting after allegations surfaced against former Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, who was a bishop in New York at the time the allegations occurred. McCarrick has since resigned. The former Vatican ambassador to the U.S., Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, has accused church leadership, including Pope Francis, of being aware of the allegations against McCarrick and also helping him to climb the ranks of the church as well at the same time. The controversy has engulfed Boston Cardinal Sean O'Malley, who has had to apologize for the way his office mishandled a 2015 letter from a priest outlining serious concerns about McCarrick. We've got a lot to talk about with news here as well. Joining me now for more on today's meeting is the co-director of bishopaccountability.org, Anne Barrett Doyle. Anne, welcome. So glad you could come in today.
Thank you, Jill.
Also based in Boston. And on the line from New York City is David Gibson, director at the Center on Religion and Culture at Fordham University. Good afternoon.
Good to be here. Thanks.
I'm glad you could join us. If I could start with you, David Gibson, some context for today's meeting. The U.S. Cardinals themselves called for this meeting, as we mentioned, with Pope Francis. Any news or policy changes at this point to report?
No, nothing really came out of it. They had a lengthy meeting with Pope Francis and a very anodyne-sounding brief statement saying that it was very fruitful and productive, but no details, you know. And in a sense, you didn't, I wouldn't expect them to have a fully elaborated policy response. I think they were really looking, American bishops were really looking for from the Pope is kind of a lifeline, because they have no credibility and they're really up against it. This is a credibility issue of the hierarchy that's been a long time in the making. And what they wanted Pope Francis to do is to actually launch an investigation of them and of the McCarrick issue and of various things, and also start to put in some procedures for holding bishops accountable, which is something that Anne and a lot of us have been calling on for a long time. But so I think he just gave them the green light, and I think a lot of this is under development and under discussion on how this might work.
I wonder if you know if there was much discussion about, we'll go through it again, the allegations by some, including the former ambassador to the U.S., Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, that church officials, including Pope Francis and Cardinal O'Malley, were aware of the allegations against Theodore McCarrick, who, again, was Archbishop of New York at the time. Do you know if that was discussed?
I don't know if that was discussed. I'm sure it was to some degree. I mean, that's something that they have want part of their investigation that they want the Vatican to do is to explain how it happened. And the Vatican also there are a number of steps to this. The Vigano letter was very overwrought kind of political score settling by a very angry Archbishop Vigano who wanted a red cardinal's hat and didn't get it. So he's settling some scores there. But the crux of it, I think, was his charge that a former Cardinal McCarrick, now Archbishop McCarrick, was able to ascend the ladder of the hierarchy years ago when everybody, as he said, knew about him sleeping with seminarians, et cetera. So I'm sure that was part of it. The Vatican has said that they will be the next step, they will be coming out, Rome will be coming out with a statement to answer some of the specific charges that Archbishop Vigano makes.
And while this meeting is going on, or was going on, there are other stories emerging as the bishops meet in Rome. In the last 24 hours, there were reports that Cardinal Daniel DiNardo of the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston, who led the meeting this morning, is facing his own accusations. There are reports he covered up sexual abuse allegations against a priest, that is, named Manuel La Rosa Lopez in Conroe, Texas, after two people confronted him. Other situations also that today Vatican officials announced the Pope had accepted the resignation of West Virginia Bishop Michael Bransfield, who was accused of sexually harassing adults. So with all of this happening while they're there, that it's amazing, it's remarkable and daunting as to the shifts that are taking place.
They really are. And a lot of these things can get conflated altogether and seem like, one big wave of the same catastrophe. There was the Pennsylvania grand jury report. There was former Cardinal McCarrick, the revelations about him. Now, as you say today, you know, you've got Cardinal DiNardo in Houston, who's president of the U.S. Bishops Conference of the American Hierarchy, you know, a report that he did not deal with a credibly accused abuser priest. At the same time, this 75-year-old bishop from West Virginia being investigated for having abused adults. And I think there it's important, though, to distinguish among a lot of these things, most specifically these two things today. It's one thing when a bishop like the guy in Bransfield in West Virginia is accused of actually committing sexual abuse of against minors or against adults. That can be dealt with. That's a little more black and white. I think, in a sense, the more serious problem and the one that hasn't been addressed is the one against Cardinal DiNardo, which is what happens to a bishop who violates the bishop's own policies, which is to report immediately and take out of ministry any priest who's been accused. That happens. It's been the standard since 2002, and Cardinal DiNardo did not do that. There's another case in Buffalo now, Bishop Malone, accused of the same things. Those, I think, are the more immediate problems because no one is clear on how those are investigated and how a bishop is held accountable.
David Gibson from the Center on Religion and Culture at Fordham. Stand by for just a second. Ann Barrett Doyle, co-director of bishopaccountability.org. Let's get you in here. Do you want to first react to today's meeting? There's a lot we've just brought up, but your take on if you know, the significance of today's meeting and what could come from it.
As David said, nothing of the substance of the meeting was reported that we can react to right now. But I'm a little stunned by the news about Bransfield because that seemed to be a reported and settled case. It's just really interesting how old allegations right now are being revived and their credibility is now being recognized where it was formally dismissed. I really agree with David that the allegation that Cardinal DiNardo ignored and dismissed very serious allegations against an active priest in his archdiocese, that is extremely troubling.
I just want to, before we turn to Boston and Cardinal O'Malley, who is really at the center of much of these meetings, he's involved greatly in looking at these accusations and the situation in the church structure. There is another meeting that's been called for by the bishops. This came out yesterday that the Pope is summoning bishops from around the world in February to come to the Vatican to discuss the abuse scandal. That seems a long ways off. And Anne, do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, it's 5 months from now. Meanwhile, we can see that children are at risk now, presumably in this Catholic Church, and as are vulnerable adults. Also, the Pope has to take action much sooner. I hope that this isn't another effort by him to deflect responsibility, to outsource responsibility, when in fact he has the ultimate power in the Catholic Church and could do something today to mitigate this crisis.
David Gibson, do you want to weigh in on that upcoming February meeting?
Yeah, I think it'll be an important meeting. I think it's an important sign, and it's also, you know, important that he gets all of these, you know, leaders from around the world in the same room. They need to develop more comprehensive policies. Unfortunately, it's not as easy. It's probably easier to do in the United States and in many countries where there's a media watchdog, where there are people like Anne, where there's a legal system, et cetera. There are a lot of places where actually the church itself is the best guarantor of safety and of justice and of disciplining priests and bishops. So it's going to be a tough thing. You know, in some countries, if you reported a priest or an allegation, they could be thrown in jail for life without a trial or even taken out and killed. So it's a very problematic thing. And I understand it's going to take a while to, you know, develop these things. But the fact that he's bringing them all together, it shows a couple of important shifts. One is that accountability for bishops, for the top echelon, the managers, is finally coming into focus. John Paul didn't do much about this crisis at all. Benedict finally sort of took action against abusive priests, increasing laicizations. Now Francis is finally tackling, I think, issues of accountability. But this meeting in February also indicates that it's a global phenomenon. Years ago, as Anne remembers, they tried to dismiss this as an American problem. It's not. America is actually the leading edge of the wave of these revelations.
Right, and Anne, I know you want to. I just want to ask you also to think about this as you want to talk about what's ahead in February. That Germany is now going through its own situation. A study commissioned by the Roman Catholic Church Bishops Conference in Germany revealed that more than 3,600 children, most under the age of 13, were sexually abused by members of the clergy over 70 years. So, as we think about what's coming up in February, how do you advise German Catholics trying to process this kind of news?
What we're seeing, Jill, is that accountability is coming to the Catholic Church, but it's coming from the outside. This has been an unprecedented year. We've never seen so many prosecutors, governments, and investigative journalists hold the Church to account as definitively as has happened this year. And as David noted, you know, it is the U.S. has one of the better sex abuse policies in the world. It has the most strict sex abuse policy for the Catholic Church. And so it is so sobering that the president of the Bishops' Conference himself is not implementing a zero-tolerance policy. This does not bode well. I think that the meeting in February will be significant, but only if the bishops emerge with a new set of very tough marching orders.
It was 2002 when this zero-tolerance policy came about, and then a lot has happened since then. Let's talk about Boston's Cardinal O'Malley, who has a role in convening some of these conversations. David, could you explain how deep his responsibility goes? And really, I'd like to hear if you think he's doing his job and go from there.
Well, I think he's in a tough spot. I mean, he's seen as the guy who comes in to clean up a lot of messes, and he's one of the ones with certainly with a lot of credibility. And that's why he's there today, you know, sitting in the room with Pope Francis and the others. He's on the Pope's commission to protect minors. But in the case of McCarrick, for example, a letter was sent to his office saying that someone had heard about McCarrick. sleeping with seminarians. And again, McCarrick is 86 years old. He's long retired. These are allegations that go back 30 years. And one of the secretaries in the office just said this is not something that Cardinal O'Malley deals with. So they just responded sort of dismissively. What it points up is again, the lack of any investigative mechanism. There is a mechanism. As soon as Cardinal McCarrick was accused earlier this year of sexually abusing an altar boy, a minor, that immediately kicked in the process. Pope Francis took him out of ministry. His red hat was taken away. He was no longer a cardinal, etc. There was no mechanism. There's, now Cardinal O'Malley says he will investigate or he will follow up on any complaint that comes to his office.
He apologized for how he mishandled
right.
The McCarrick.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but in a way, the thing is, he can't police the whole Catholic Church. It's just an insufficient mechanism. They need an actual body of lay people, of investigators. So when these things come up, you know, somebody with credibility can do it. He's got to run the Archdiocese of Boston.
David Gibson, Anne Barrett Doyle, we have about a minute left. And please weigh in on Cardinal O'Malley. You are in Boston. You are in this Archdiocese. So is he doing enough? He's got a lot on his plate.
He does. He's not doing enough. He should step aside, I believe, as head of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. Let someone else try that job. Maybe he doesn't have sharp enough elbows. He says a lot of half-brave things, but he has yet to do something that would really make a difference. He's lost the gutsiest members of that commission. It's time for someone else to run it.
This is a really large question, and I think it deserves a whole lot more treatment. In your eyes, is it possible for the Church, the Catholic Church, internationally to recover from what is what we know a decades-old crisis, Anne?
We need decisive action fast, and the Pope could do something dramatic like release the names of all the priests found guilty by the Vatican. that would be a tremendous example for bishops around the world.
Mm-hmm. David Gibson, director at the Center of Religion and Culture at Fordham, last words on that. I mean, how much work has to be done here and over how many generations?
Well, a lot of work needs to be done. And in a sense, it's a crisis, but it's also an opportunity for Pope Francis, who has said a lot of the right things about the clerical culture that is at the heart of this scandal. It's not about sex. It's about abuse. It's about power. It's not about gay priests. It's about abuse. And it's about clericalism in the church, this caste of priests who are set aside and have an extraordinary power and can exercise it in bad ways. And the Pope wants to reform that. This is actually a chance for him to do that.
All right. I'm sure, unfortunately, we're going to continue to talk about this. David Gibson, director at the Center on Religion and Culture at Fordham University in New York. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Barrett Doyle, co-director of bishopaccountability.org. So glad you could be in here today. We appreciate you coming in.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Jill Kaufman. This is Radio Boston.